Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Come on. Well, good morning. Welcome to week one of Relationship Status. Some of y'all got nervous when you saw that. The reason why you got nervous when you saw that is because relationships are so hard. And if it wasn't hard, we wouldn't get nervous about it. It's the same kind of vibe when you're like, hey, we're going to talk about money this week. You're like, because we love our money. And it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. But relationships are difficult. And so we're going to spend the next 4 weeks talking about relationships. And I believe that God's going to help us. No matter what season of life that you're in, everyone in here has to be in a relationship with somebody. We're all in relationships. And so that's why it's so difficult, because we got a bunch of people trying to figure out how to do it. We have different backgrounds. We have different people coming from different areas of the world. We got different people coming from young and old and all the backgrounds. And we got all the baggage from all of our parents and all of our family members. Their relationships, they are difficult. And here's my hope. If you're in here and you're young, I hope you listen really good, because I spent a lot of time with the older people. If you don't figure it out when you're young, I feel like it makes it harder to figure it out when you get older. They're just difficult. And here's what I believe. If you've been in this church for a long time, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but I believe this, that relationships are our greatest resource. Relationships are our greatest resource. And the reason why I always say that is because Jesus, God, he made himself in an image. He is a Trinity. He's God the Father, he's God the Son, he's God the Spirit. So he would lean on, even throughout Scripture, we see Jesus lean on the Father. We see Jesus lean on the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit communicating with God the Father. They all lean on each other. They all need each other. And I believe it's the greatest relationship. Here's how I make it very practically speaking. If you lost all of your money today, and you had nobody, what would you do? And you had no relationship. Think about it this way. What if you lost everything and you had relationships? You would have everything that you need. Usually, because here's the deal. Like if you go outside today, you get a flat tire. As awesome as this device is, it's not gonna change your tire for you. Wouldn't that be awesome? Now, I know, we're probably not far from it being able to. Just like, boom. And it starts cranking out your tire. But man, what if you had nobody? What if you had nobody? There was back in the day, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, but when you had to take a car to the shop, you had to have someone follow you to the shop, drop the car off, you get back in the car, and then they take you back home. I don't know what you do now, but when I got to take a car to the shop now, you know what I do? I take it there. Then I take out my phone, I open up the Uber app, and I let Uber take me back. Because everybody I know is busy. They got a lot going on. Their life is fast paced. Their job is important. And we get so relationships are huge. I don't know about you, but wouldn't it be awkward if every meal you had to go to the meal by yourself? Like, I don't care what steakhouse you like. Anybody ever been to Eddie V's? I'm hungry this morning. Anybody ever been to Eddie V's? Like, Eddie V's is awesome, but it's so much better with the right company. Like, everything is better with the right company. I played golf this week with my best friend in the whole entire world, and I thought, this is funner with him because I get to make fun of somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just better. Everything in life is better with people. And everywhere we go, we're surrounded by relationships. We have work relationships. That's why this series matters, because you're going to go to work tomorrow, and if you get into relationships at work, you're going to be in trouble. There's dating relationships. I don't know about you, anybody. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm so glad I'm married, because I wouldn't know how to date in the 2000s. Yeah, someone's like, oh, that makes sense. I know what he's saying. Like, I always tell our single people, it's different out there in the streets nowadays. It's difficult. It's different now. It's different. Back in the day, we had to, like, you know, Trips like, I like that girl. I'm like, so what are you going to do? There's no app for that. Back in the day, we would actually have to walk up to someone, hey, I like you. Check yes or no. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to have a conversation. Nels, you remember when you liked Jenny? When you first, it was like, you're married for 30 years, right? it's different today, Nelson. We out Nelson, we wouldn't know how to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just you gotta be able to talk to someone. Talking to people apparently it's difficult to talk to people nowadays. If you're a parent, that parenting and having a relationship with your kid, that's hard. Can I get an amen? It ain't easy. It might not be hard, but I know for sure it ain't easy. I thought it was an easy one. I thought it was an easy kid to parent, Dad. I don't know, but family relationships, those are difficult. Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, everyone has that other sibling that they don't know how to raise their kid. You know what I'm saying? They need help from you to help you raise, you know, they need your help. You know what I'm saying? Because you do it right and they do it wrong. Family relationships, marriage relationships. Marriage is like, I actually saw someone the other day and she's like, I said, how's married life? She's been married for like 3 or 4 years. She's like, it is so easy. And I'm like, give it a few more years. Friendship relationships, that's difficult. I was with my friend the other day and I'm like, park the golf cart here, not there. Like, that's so small. And he looked at me, he goes, man, I love you. That was his way of saying, be quiet. Nobody asked you. Friends is difficult. Maybe because we have friends that live, Diana, I have friends that live all around the world. And when they come from around the world and we get in the same exact space, we could do life with them. Like we could be gone from 8 years, 9, 10 years, and we could just pick right back up the way that it came from. Nowadays, if you don't like someone's post, are they really your friend? You didn't share my post yesterday. I'm still your friend. We're cool. Everything's gonna be fine. So friendship relationships, then there's social media relationships. That's a whole nother level. I'm not even gonna preach about that because that's, if your relationships is based upon likes and shares and retweets on social media, I can't help you. You're on your own. Sorry, good luck. If you're honest, I wrote it down this way. If you're honest, you'll admit that relationships, they aren't easy. They're not always easy. I saw this on the internet this week. Relationships, it says this, it was titled this, Relationships Are Harder Now. The relationships are harder now because conversations became texting. Arguments became phone calls. Feelings, oh, I love this one. I don't, you get the point. Feelings became subliminal messages. Sex became easy. The word love is used out of context. Insecurities became a way of thinking. Getting jealous became a habit. Trust is hard to come by. Being hurt became natural. And leaving became the only option. And that's what the world is giving us. That's what the world says is normal. And so, as you know, if you've been here long enough to know, I'm going to always take us back to the Bible. It is difficult. It does take a lot of work. The relationships can be exhausting. But I like it. I like it this way. You know, you ever go to open up a recipe, or you go to open up directions, and they give you like four best results. And I want to give you a four best results today. Four best results. You have to go, we have to, as believers, we have to go to what the Bible says. We have to go to our Creator. For best results, go to the Creator. Because He made you. It's so difficult because we're doing it our way. We're not doing it God's way. We're not going to the Creator and asking Him how it should work. We're kind of just taking it at our, we're kind of figuring out as we go, or we're taking cues from culture. There's a reason why all those magazines are at the front of the checkout aisles, because people are buying them. You know, I heard someone say this week in a podcast I listened to, she's like, you know, I was talking to this kid, and he was like, man, I want to read 100 books this year. And this is actually on social media. She goes, why don't you just read one book a lot? I saw this crazy, crazy, crazy study recently. If you read the Bible one day a week, not that much will happen to your life. If you read it 2 days a week, not that much will happen to your life. 3 days, not a lot. If you read the Bible four times a week, your life dramatically changes. Four times a week. And this statistic was talking about how all these different major categories in life, how those numbers went down based upon how much you actually read the Bible. And doing the things in the Bible, the percentages went up, like inviting your friends to church, like praying more, like fasting, like spiritual, like this Bible really It's everything. I was at a conference this week. I spent 2 days learning about how to get the Bible around the world, and we're a part of the new organization called One Hope, and they literally are giving the gospel to over 2 billion people a year. 2 billion people. And their target audience is young people. I'm like, we're going to get involved in that. Anytime you can get the Bible around the world, that's where I'm interested. And so they're doing a lot of things to get the scripture into this next generation's hands, because what this next generation needs, they need lives that are transformed. Our life can only be transformed by the word of God. This is still active. The Bible says this is active. It's living. It's breathing. It's not an old book. It's still relevant today. It is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. This book contains the very words of God. It's why we spend the first 21 days of the year. Read it. Hopefully it will create a habit. So for best results, we have to go to our creator. Here's what I also know about relationships. Relationships are difficult, but I also wrote that down this way, like authentic relationships. When you finally find an authentic relationship, which it takes a while to figure out, that's actually life-giving. An authentic relationship without comparison, without jealousy, without bitterness, oh, it's so life-giving. I don't know about you, but I want to be a life giver. I don't want to suck the life out of people. And you can only be one of the two kinds of people. So are you giving life to people, or are you depleting people of life? Are you life giving? Are you a life giver? And if you're life giving, it's probably because you're doing your best to live out the fruits of the Spirit, which we find in this book. You're trying to live out the scripture the best you can. I just know this, anytime you do anything in this Bible, it's gonna yield greater results. Authentic relationships are life-giving. And ultimately, if you don't figure out how to do relationships, you're gonna be in trouble, because here's what we know about relationships. If you don't find out how to do relationships, then you move into isolation. And the devil loves you in isolation. If you ever watched the National Geographic, we used to have a thing called a National Geographic, it used to come on a magazine. That's how old I am. I don't even know if it's on TV anymore, but you would watch these animals that got picked off by this lion or this tiger or this bear. Oh my. And they got picked off usually because they were by themselves. They were by themselves. And that's how they got picked off. Or it was a limp. It had a hurt leg or hurt arm. It couldn't defend himself. When you're by yourself, the enemy picks you off a lot quicker. So he's waiting for you to be in isolation. I'm not going to go to church anymore, Pastor Wes. Well, I don't want to be in a community group, Pastor Wes. The enemy's going to pick you off. I don't want the enemy to pick you off. He's really good at picking people off. Like, it's weird. He can get, like, it's not like he's coming at you from afar. He just gradually gets close, and then he pounces on you. He will pick you off if you're not careful. We have to figure this out, or we will be isolated, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. So for best results, John chapter 15, Jesus talking to his disciples, and you'll see some relational language in this passage of scripture. Relational language in this passage of scripture, John chapter 15. By the way, you want to intimidate the Bible? You want to intimidate the enemy? Bring your Bible to church. Just the devil, if you have a Bible, the devil's like, yeah, I'm not messing with them. The devil, if you walk around with this thing, you want to have YouVersion app. This thing dies, the devil's like, I got him. You know what I'm saying? You want this, hey, this will never die. Come on. Have you heard that quote? It's old school preachers. Like, if you show me a Bible that's falling apart, I'll show you a follower of Jesus who's not falling apart. That'll help somebody today. Man, you walk around the Bible, the devil's like, yeah, I'm not messing with them. No. They have I'm gonna take their anxiety out. No, they're gonna flip over to the New Testament. They read Apostle Paul says, cast your anxieties on God. They're gonna have a verse of that. Oh, I'm feeling really, really, really weak. They're gonna be like, oh no, you're gonna flip into Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Oh, I feel like, you know, they're isolated. Oh, they know Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says that let us make man in our image, in our image. You know that. Like, you're not like, I'm not messing with them. No. They have a scripture for that. I'm gonna go after them. Oh no, you can't go after them. He's got a Bible in his hand. John chapter 15, Jesus is writing to the disciples, and we are his disciples. He's teaching his disciples in red letters, plain and clear. John chapter 15, verse 9, he says to his guys, hey guys, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. He's writing to some friends. He's writing to his greatest relationship was the disciples. He's talking to these guys. Hey guys, remain in my love. We brought the crosses in here last week, and we nailed some things to the cross. And some of you guys are believing God to. The power of the cross is what we sing about. It's the power of the cross is everything for you and I. The power of the cross, everything. So we have the power of the cross. And he says here, like, hey guys, I love you guys. Remain in my love. Then he goes on a little bit further in verse 10. He goes, when you obey my commandments, you are remaining in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I want you to remain in my love. I love you. I died on the cross for your sins. I want you to remain in my love the way I also remain in my Father's love. Here's a really cool passage of scripture. Jesus is never asking you to do anything that he's not willing to do. Now, I'm so thankful that the cross is finished and we live from the cross. We're not living to work for the cross. We're coming from the cross. Everything we do is from the cross. He won't even ask you to die on the cross for your sins. He does tell you, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, three of the four gospels, Jesus says to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He's like, live your life like a follower of Jesus. Jesus tells the guys, hey guys, I want you to remain in my love the same way that I remained in my Father's love. Verse 11, he says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with much joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. It's possible for you to have joy, and it's possible for you to overflow with joy. I don't know about you, but I don't want just average joy. I want overflow joy. And the Bible says if you want overflow joy, it comes from remaining in Jesus, getting in his word, spending time with him, having all of your affections towards him. The more you spend time with God, the more he gets in you, the more he gets on you, and then you will begin to overflow with that. I spoke to 600 middle school and high school students this past week at Foundation Academy where my kids go to school, and 20 kids gave their life to Christ. The day before that, I spoke at the under school, at the lower campus, and there's probably a couple hundred kids in that environment also. And in both those environments, I let them know, Cindy, I'll let you know today, if you get in God's word, it will get in you. Did you know this? 7 minutes a day in the Bible will do more for your spiritual walk than coming to 42 Sundays this year. That's a lot. My buddy Joyce says this way, don't hear what I'm not saying. That don't mean don't come next week. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm telling you, man, if your life will, for best results, get in God's word. Like, are we talking about relationships or God's word? Yes. Everything is God's word. I remember when Jake Brown walked up to me almost 20 years ago when I first got into ministry. He goes, are you telling me that every answer to all my life's questions are in the Bible? Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the tweet I'm looking for. God's word. He says, remain in me. Then there's going to be an overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other the same way that I loved you. God wants me to love you the way that he loved me. And we, unfortunately, we're picking and choosing when and how and who we're going to love. The problem with that is that you get into environments, people you should be loving, but you're not loving them. And then you get environments of people that you shouldn't be loving, and you're loving them too. Can't figure it out, Pastor Wes. Well, because you're not remaining in God's word. You're not remaining in his love. You're not loving everybody. Picking and choosing who you're going to love is not what God has called you. You can't find that in this book. Well, Pastor Wes, they don't vote the way I vote. I can't love them. Come on. We got to love everybody. Pastor Wes, they live there and we live here. There's churches that believe out there that they can only love the people that look like them. You don't want to be that church. You come to this church, but that's a clear one. Like, that one's clear. Like, but what is it, your thing that you're like, okay, that's my segregation thing with them? I went to growing up, my mom is white, my dad's black. My dad would go to a primarily black church, and primarily it was all blacks. It was all bros. And I grew up, my parents sent me to a small Christian school, very, very legalistic Baptist. I wore a shirt and tie my whole entire life to church. And so what you get now, next week, we're going to have fire cannons and tennis shoes in church. You know, like, I still love Jesus, by the way. But then I went to the school. It was primarily all white people. My dad came to that church visiting. He was the only black guy in the church. But we, But I believe the church should look like heaven. You should have every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every color. But you may say, well, I'm here, so I'm not those churches. But we have a thing that may cause the segregation for whatever it may be, whatever your thing is. And so he said, we ought to love all people. So we ought to literally love everybody. We can't pick and choose who we're going to love and who we're going to stay disconnected from and who we're going to stay close to. We forget who we're supposed to. He says, hey, we ought to love. He goes, we ought to literally love the way that I loved you guys. You guys ought to love that. You ought to overflow with joy. In verse 13, he says, there's no greater love. Now you're like, now some of you guys are like, dude, Pastor West, calm down. Okay, here's the calm down part of it. No one is, verse 13 says, there's no greater love than lay down one's life for one's friends. Only Jesus could die on the cross for the sins of the world. And only he can love everybody unconditionally. And we can't do that, Pastor West. I can't do that. No, you can. Maybe you can't right now. But maybe your goal is progress, maybe not perfection in this area, but your goal is progress. If you get around me, I've only worked at two churches, and we started this church as a third. When we left that church, like, man, we felt a hit in the church when you left, Pastor Wes. And I'm like, what happened? They said everybody was your friend. I love John Maxwell. He's one of the greatest leadership voices in the church in America. I'd say now he's in the secular world into corporate America. And he always opens up all of his talks. I'm John Maxwell, and I'm your friend. And I just think, you, based upon this scripture, you can't go wrong with being everybody's friend. Because what happens is, if you decide to pick and choose your friend, then you'll start isolating people. And there's some people in the room that if you weren't isolating yourself from them, you actually find out that they could compliment you. My best friends, I love them a lot. You know what I like about them is because they can see all of my blind spots, the ones I can't see. I'm thankful for that. I need those. I need people. There's a spot right there. There's a speck in your own eye, and you need to get that out. You know, I sat in a group with Gary years ago, and there are some things that I get judgmental about. And Gary goes, sounds like you're judgmental, brother. And I go, I'm leaving this community group. I love the groups because it begins to. I'm about to be in another one with Mike, and it's downtown. By the way, if you work downtown Orlando, there's a men's Bible study that meets. There's actually a ladies' Bible study that meets downtown Orlando. I go to that group because I'm like, man, I'm gonna grow in that group. Mike leads one and Joy leads one right downtown Atlanta. So it's like this passerby. You can get there. If you ever get you ought to get there. Jill leads a Financial Peace University. And we put a video out this past week. I think Financial Peace University is one of the greatest classes, and everyone ought to go through it at least once in their life. And it was really, really good for me because I went through it years ago, but I just co-led it with Jill, AKA I just came and she did all the work. But the point is, I was there and I was listening to the content, and I literally, just from being in that group, I literally made me look at my budget. I cut $2,000 a year out of my budget just from being in that class. Something that I could take out. And I was like, dang, I need to take that out. Like yes, I need that. And like, it just helps you. And if you're young in here today, moms and dads, if you have a kid who's young, if they're 18, 19, 20, 17, you ought to make them take the class. Because it's only gonna, don't drop off your kids if they're in elementary. It won't work. Middle schooler. My kid's in middle school. He's like, I wish I could take that class. He's not quite there yet. But if you're in high, if you're 17, 18, maybe senior enough, that sounds like a good number. If you're a senior, if you're a high school senior, that class is huge. You guys have been in that. And anybody who's ever been there is like, man, my life is better. When you get in relationships, but if I was like, oh, I don't like Joe, I'm not going to that class. I don't like Mike, I'm not going to go to that Bible study. Then I'd be limiting my faith. I would be I don't like that Gary called me out. I'll be limiting my growth. And I don't want to live my growth. I want to call you to next steps. And I got people in my life that are calling me to next steps. And some of you guys call me to next steps. And so let me get back to the scripture today. He goes, yeah, so this is my commandment. Love each other the same way that I have loved you. There's no greater love. Verse 14, you are my friend. Here's this relational language, relational status. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now I'm pretty extreme. I don't know if you can say the opposite is 100% true. If you don't do what God says, you're not his friend. I don't know. That sounds mean. Everybody doesn't like that. That's my translation, though. I don't mind straightforward. Like, I think I belong in the Northeast. Like, I like it straight. Just take me out. You know what I'm saying? Like, cut my legs out. Once I finish bleeding, I'll grow back. I'll learn from the mistake, and we'll keep on going. He says here, you are my friends if you do what I command. Here's verse 15. I no longer call you slaves, which you used to be a slave to your sin, but with the relationship with Jesus Christ, you can become a son or daughter, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my, Jesus, you're my friends. I don't know, that sounds, if we're honest here today, that probably sounds intimidating to you. I don't want Jesus to be my friend. I have one of my kids who is afraid to pray, and I'm like, it makes sense. You're talking to the creator of the universe. That is intimidating. That could be intimidating. I remember when I was younger, my dad took me to a hotel. I think it used to be called the Omni. It's where the opposing teams that played the Magic used to stay at. And I remember, and I was like, hey, we're going to go see the Knicks. And I remember seeing Charles Oakley, and I used to see Patrick Ewing, all these, and then I would go see Magic players, and I'd be like, so intimidating. Now if I walked by an NBA player, I wouldn't even care. When you're young, you're so starstruck. Like, oh my goodness. The creator of the universe says, if you do the commands, you're his friend. You want to be God's, I don't know about you, but I want to be God's friend. A friend that sticks close to the brother, I want to be friends with him. Like, plus you always want to have a friend in high places. I just think if you're friends with God, and Nelson, when you get to heaven, you get the 7 a.m. tea time. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like going to stay close to them. I don't want that in heaven. I don't want that bad tea time, that 2 p.m. when the sun comes out, 7 a.m. with Jesus. He goes, you want to be God's friend? I no longer call you slaves, because the master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you're my friend, since I have told you everything the Father told me. He goes, I'm telling you everything that the Father told you. I mean, are you hearing the intimacy in this relationship? With his disciples, which he calls us to be disciples. People will know that you're Christ's disciples by the way that you love people. John tells us that. People are going to know if you're God's disciple, not by if you go to Hope Church, but if you love people and you keep his commands, so that the Father will give you, he says verse 16, this is beautiful. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, and fruit that lasts is relational. Our fruit is in relationships. He's not going, I hope you have a greater 401k, which I hope you do. I hope your Roth account is full. I hope it is. I hope all those things for you. He goes, but lasting fruit, relationships. Your legacy, relationships. Oh, I finally got my coworker to come to work. Legacy, relationships. I finally got my son or daughter, my brother, my sister to come to church. Legacy, lasting relationships. He's telling you and I today, you got to have relationships right. You need your relationships to be right. I need them to be right. I need to be right with my brother. I need to be right with my sister. He says here, so that the Father will give you, he goes, then I appoint you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. There's something that comes. He says, you can get whatever you ask. There's something that comes when you are abiding and you have you're remaining and you're in close proximity with God. Now, you're not going to get every frivolous desire that comes to your mind. God's not a genie in a bottle. I'm sorry. I know it didn't sound good, but he's not. He says here, I'm going to give you whatever you ask for. He's talking there. I think he's talking there. I think there's a multiplicity of things he's talking there. But he's going, hey, I really want you to make sure you know that you are remaining in me. And out of that comes so much. You actually ask for things. And when you get close with God, the things that you ask for, they actually start coming with relational attachment to it. I got a friend of mine, he's like, I want to buy that motorcycle. He says, I want to buy the motorcycle because I'm going to have multiple motorcycles and then we can all go ride together. I don't have a long list of things I want, but I would like a boat. And I'm like, man, if I got a boat, I could do a lot. I could hang out with a lot more people in a boat. Like, you could just be so much. Like, plus, who doesn't want to throw their kids around on a tube? You know what I'm saying? Who doesn't want to inflict pain on their kids? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way that sounded. he says here, man, the things that you ask for, when you get so close to God, and you get so close to like remain with God, the things you ask for, the things you do, it just changes. And then lastly, he says here, this is my commandment. Love each other. This is my commandment. Love each other. Two thoughts, and we'll be done. Two really quick thoughts. There's a lot of thoughts in the scripture. By the way, I've noticed this at the best notes. I walked out of that chapel today, in that chapel on Thursday morning, and a girl gave me her notes. Thank you so much. You know what she said? She said, thanks so much for believing in my generation. She's like, this is what I got out of the message today. Dude, this generation, I don't have time to preach it, but I'm hedging all bets on them. We need your money to reach them. Like, just no strings attached, like just clear. When you give here, almost every dollar you give, it's attached to the next generation. Yeah, it goes to groups and it goes to, missions around the world. We are reaching a lot of people around the world. We have a lot of missions partners. But most of our missions partners, they're targeting young people. Because if we reach them, what we're finding here at this church, we have a family here today. There's a family here today. Their seventh grader brought them. We have kids. We have kids that will come from the schools around the world, a place that we go. And Joanna has an impact in schools. And her daughter had an impact in her school. There's a family in this room here today. They came because we reached the kids. It's weird. My parents just dragged us to church by our ears. And we went. Sure, we fought back, but not long, because then they pinched both ears. That hurt worse than one ear. But I'm just telling you today, I'm hedging all bets. And I want to tell you this right now, if you're old in the room here today, however you identify as old. I don't know how you identify as old. I don't know which old as you identify. I'm telling you right now, they are watching us. Vanessa and Matt lead a small group in our church. I told Matt yesterday, Matt's my son's small group leader for multiple years. I'm still thankful for him. But I told Vanessa, I said, I am so glad that you're leading our church. I'm just telling you, they're watching us. Your work relationships are watching you. Your dating relationships are watching you. Your parenting relationships are watching you. Your family's watching you. Your marriage, your spouse is watching you. Your kids are watching your marriage. Your friends are watching you. If they're non-believers, they're watching you. Your social media feed, people are watching you. Everybody's watching us. If you're a follower of Jesus, I think I skipped over that verse, but if you're a follower of Jesus, they're watching you. Whoever they is, you just fill in the blank. Everyone's watching you. I tell our team everything. I tell our team every single week. Everything about you communicates everything about you. They're watching you. They're watching you. Two thoughts. Jesus is our role model for how to have healthy relationships. You're like, no wonder why I don't feel 50. He's the role model. Jesus is the role model for how to have healthy relationships. He models it. Like, he's God, but he's also Jesus. He walks with men and women on this earth for years, and he shows us how to do relationships. It's like, this is how it's supposed to be, guys. Love them. Down and out, love them. Rich religious rulers, love them. He does preach about them. He does slam them, spiritually speaking. He does slam them, but he still loves them. He loves everybody. Those Roman soldiers that crucified him, he loved them. He's the role model for healthy relationships. Here's the second thing. Healthy relationships require you to love, this is sound familiar to somebody, or requires you to love all people at all times in all places. I sat in a restaurant with a guy whenever I wrote our mission statement, and he's like, are you sure you're willing to do that? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. He's like, do you think the people in your church are going to do that? I go, I don't know. And if you're going to do that, whatever screen it's on, whatever you're watching, if you're going to do that, you're never going to do that without abiding in Jesus. Healthy relationships require you to love all people at all times and all places. In your house, at your work, everywhere you go. I had two thoughts, two questions. Here's a take home here's one take home. Who do you need to start loving better? And everyone, one out of one people, if they're listening to me today, online, in person today, somebody popped into your mind. I've said this before. I'm not doing the marriage talk. We're going to talk about relationships, marriage, religion. I'm not doing it. Just figured I'd rather have someone who's 33, 35 years into it than a guy who's only 19 years into it. I think there's some clout with 19, but there's just more clout for 13. Plus, I need all the help. There's been times in my marriage I'm like, I need to love my wife better. Maybe that's you. My spouse better. I need to love my kids better. How can I do that? Maybe you can stop raising your voice at your kids. Now, I know they deserve to be yelled at. I'm just saying, but maybe you don't know my kids. You're like, I know. I'm talking to you. You're talking to me. Who do you need to love better? Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's someone in this room. Maybe it's someone who comes to second service. Maybe you come to first service because that person comes to second service. Oh, he's talking real now. I don't know. Just saying. Maybe. There was a season where I had a hard time loving my dad. I like wish he wouldn't sit on the front row. Then I realized he's imperfect, but I'm just going to love him anyways. I'm sure he thought the same thing about me. But here's what I know. There's a group of people in this room here today. You cannot nail this. You can't be in progress if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it starts with abiding. We didn't get into the first verses 1 through 8, but there's a little bit of that language in verses 9 through 15, but it talks about relationship with Jesus. You can't do this without a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't love the way Christ loved if you haven't experienced the love that he's given for you. That's like 1 + 1 = 2 or 1 + 1 = 2. It's the same thing. You're not going to be able to. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want to invite you all across the way to bow your head and close your eyes. I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus into your life. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life, this is your moment to accept Jesus into your life. I want this for you. I love you, so I'm going to share with you the greatest news in the world. But God loves you, so he's going to give you his son down the cross for your sins. The greatest news in the world is that Jesus loves you down the cross for your sins. And I'm telling you right now, everything changes with the relationship with Jesus. And we need that. We need a relationship with Jesus. So if you're here today and underneath the sound of my voice, you know, Pastor Wes, I'm here today and I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to you today. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, you might be asking yourself the question, why do I need a relationship with Jesus Christ? The reason why we need a relationship with Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that we're all sinners. And because we've sinned, that means we've missed the mark. The word sin is missing the mark. And we've all missed the mark because we've sinned, Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, because we've missed the mark, because we sinned, we are separated from God. There's a penalty. And yes, it's hell when this all ends. But right now on earth, it's complete separation from God. It's utter darkness. It's utter separation from God. And God does not want to be separated from you. He wants to be in close relationship with you. God of the universe that created us earlier, he wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. So you're completely separate. You've sinned. That was on you. You did that. We've all done that. We're in complete separation. That's a consequence. But there's redemption, or there's a rescue plan. The rescue plan is that Jesus and his son is on the cross for your sins. But with that news comes a response. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, your response should be to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you can be saved. You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It takes a response from you. You have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you can be saved. So I'm wondering in this room here today, you've acknowledged that you're a sinner. You've acknowledged that you're separated from God. It's easy to acknowledge you've been separated from God. We're lonely. We're disconnected from him. You would know if you were connected to God. So you're a sinner. You're disconnected from God. You also know whether or not you've asked Jesus to be your savior or not. You know whether or not you've asked Christ to be your savior. And that question is not, do you go to church? Are you Catholic? Are you Baptist? Are you Lutheran? Are you Methodist? That's irrelevant, because when we get to heaven, there are no denominations. It's only believers in Jesus. And that requires you to make a stand or a choice to move into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know whether or not you've done it before. But if you've never done that before, this is your moment to ask Jesus to be your savior. The greatest relationship you'll ever have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're going to do relationships the way God's plan for relationships is, that's going to require you to have a relationship with him. And so if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, here's your moment. This is your moment to invite Jesus to be your savior. Right where you're at, The room is dark. No one's looking around. You get to have a moment with just you and Jesus right in your seat. If you're going, Pastor West, I want to be saved today. I want to invite Christ to be my Savior. Right where you're at, would you just say, Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm separated from God. But today, Jesus, I'm giving my life to you. Please come into my life and save me from all of my sins. Tell him, say, Jesus, I want to be your son, or I want to be your daughter. I want to live my life for you because you gave your life for me. And if you prayed that prayer for the very first time all across the way, would you say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. My life is yours. Thank you. Just thank him. All across the way, I believe that there are people in this room today that have prayed that prayer, maybe online, that have prayed that prayer for the very first time. I want to be able to pray with you and celebrate with you today. So I'm going to ask you to, it's a bold move. I'm just going to ask you just to slip your hand up. I'm going to count to three and just ask you to slip your hand. You just shoot your hand to the sky as high as you can. Say, Pastor West, I prayed that prayer for the very first time. I gave my life to Christ. And I just want to celebrate that with you today. No one's looking around, just me. I'm going to count to three. When I get there, shoot your hand to the sky. I gave my life to Christ. Say, ready? One, two, three. Just shoot your hand real quick all across the way. Pastor West, I prayed that prayer. I see your hand. Thank you so much. Praise God. Anybody else across the way? God bless you, bro. I'm so glad you're here today. Today's day of your salvation. Praise God. Anybody else today? Pastor West, I prayed that prayer. Hands on each of the sections. Praise God. Praise God. I want to invite you to stand to your feet all across the way. Our prayer team's going to come forward. If you're here today and you're like, man, Pastor West, I prayed that prayer today. Man, we're so happy for you today. One of the greatest things you can do is come down front and see one of our prayer team. Say, hey, I prayed that prayer today. I gave my life to Christ today. Maybe you're in the room here today and you're like, bro, I need prayer for something specific. Our prayer team's here today. Maybe you're in the room here today and you know that you need to love that you're not loving. Maybe you take a moment and say, God, I'm going to love her better. I'm going to love him better. I'm going to love God better. And you just declare today that you're going to be a better lover of people today. All across the way, God, we love you. Lord, for those that gave their life to you for the very first time, we celebrate today. We're so thankful that you came and you died for us so our friends can be set free today like they were set free today. Now there's more sons, there's more daughters in the kingdom today. Lord, for the ones in the room here today that are struggling with letting someone off the hook, or we're having a hard time loving, I pray that we can love the way that you loved us. Jesus, thank you, pray.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.